breakfast and women's breakfast. Dan, did you want to say anything about the men's breakfast?
I was also going to tell you, you know, people have already, we don't officially start collecting for it until April, but we've already collected $100 towards it.
Guys, you guys are awesome.
All right. No, that's not enough, but that's all right. We're already on the way. I think it's exciting. Acts chapter 11. We're going to continue from where we left off last week. Remind you that this is we're talking about Peter's experience with Cornelius, the fact that the first time that the gospel has been introduced to the Gentiles. Reminder, who are the Gentiles? It's you and me, okay? Anybody who's outside of the Jewish background, who doesn't have the Hebrew lineage, okay? And and so we already are talking about how the gospel came to be something that we can embrace, okay? And this is the last week we went through it, kind of talked about the points behind it, saw how God was working and God poured out his spirit among the Gentiles. And we're going to pick that up. Remember, this was a celebration. Peter had gone there. He wasn't sure what to expect. God had to prepare a couple things, you know, talk to people here and there. And finally, God, as Peter spoke the gospel message to Cornelius and his household and the friends, neighbors, I'm not sure who all was there, but all the folks that were there, and the Holy Spirit came down upon them as Peter was presenting the gospel. It's kind of like the preacher, you know, and he's preaching along, and somebody comes up and says, "Can I make a decision? No, not yet. You got to wait." You know, Not the preacher wasn't ready for it, okay? So Peter was that way. He wasn't quite ready. It seems like he was ready to preach on for another half hour, and yet God just poured out his spirit, and it came, okay? And there was rejoicing. Peter says, how can we deny baptism to these that God has already baptized with the Spirit, okay? And he's already given the Holy Spirit. And so there was that exciting event right then where they came. Now, here's where we're picking up. We're picking up right at that point after they celebrated and Peter stayed there a few days. And then it comes up in chapter 11, verse 1. Okay? And it says, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So the word quickly spread. It went out to everybody. They began to hear that the Gentiles had embraced this word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. Did you get that? When Peter went up, they criticized him and said, you went into the house of the uncircumcised men and ate with them. Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. I was in this, and here's the part. It's the reiteration. I told you this last week that this story continued. And this is one of the places where we find this narrative. And God is repeating. He wants to make sure he's included it here in the scripture because he wants us to understand what happened. So starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being cut down, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to where I was. And I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. And then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And I replied, surely not, Lord. Still, every time I hear that, no, Lord, it just doesn't go. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. And the voice spoke from heaven a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And this happened three times. And when it was all up, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. And the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. And these six brothers also went with me. And we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? And when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promise of your word. We thank you the fact that you have included this in here so that we can know from the beginning of time you've been reaching out to us. And it culminated in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with Cornelius, that you finalized, you sealed it. You said, yes, this is my will. This is what I've yearned for from the beginning. God, thank you for that redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that as we study today, that we can see how it impacts our lives and what you want us to learn from your word today. In Christ's name, amen. Now, the first thing, you know, as I pointed out, the first thing that strikes me about this is the criticism, okay, in verse 1. You know, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And so when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. And I have to stop back and I say, now wait, you know, this is supposed to be something glorious. This is supposed to be a celebration. People were saved. Aren't we supposed to celebrate that people were saved? And I step back from that and I go, why was the criticism there? Well, I want to get into that. But one of the things I want to point out to you guys is just the way they approached it. The first thing they do is they just begin criticizing. They begin complaining. And I find that that's a human characteristic. When something happens that we don't like, what do we do? Do we automatically just think about all the possible reasons as to how this situation came to be? No, what we do, we say, I don't like that, and we attack. We attack whoever brings us that message or how it came about. And here, Peter was responsible for something they didn't like. Something happened that they didn't like and they didn't agree with. They couldn't wrap their minds around it, and they thought, no, this is wrong, and so they attacked Peter. Did they even have all the knowledge? Did they have all the facts? Did they know the story as to what happened? Well, apparently not. They didn't know that. They went out and they attacked him. And folks, I just want to say, this is just a practical aspect of the scripture teaching us about our life conduct. Folks, when people act in a way that we can't agree with, that we don't understand, that we can't buy into, we should not be attacking. You know what James said in chapter 1, verse 19? In James 1, 19 says, let every man be quick to what? To hear. Slow to speak. And slow to anger. Folks, that's a very basic truth. These guys were quick to anger, quick to speak and attack, and they had not even yet listened. I want to tell you, practically speaking, that here God is telling us that's not the way for us to behave as Christians. What we need to learn to do is we need to learn in our relationships that if we have a conflict with somebody, it's a much better approach to go to them and say, hey, Peter, we heard some things about what happened up in Caesarea. Can you tell us about it? And then let Peter begin telling them. And there never would have been that criticism. There never would have been that conflict. There never would have been that attack. Folks, I want to encourage you to just, if you don't get anything else out of this, apply this to your life. Learn to listen, button the lip, and stop talking. Okay? And don't attack other people. Don't get angry about things like this. Yes, Deb? Hey, don't you guys like this? An interactive sermon? Okay. Go ahead, Deb. Yes. Yep. That's to the point. Let everyone speak with grace. See, instead of attacking, instead of being angry, instead of being filled, part of the thing, and you guys, have you noticed how I constantly, over and over again, as we're dismissed into this world to go out these doors, I try to remind every one of us, let's go in grace. That's this point. Let's go in grace that we might take grace, which is this ability to listen to other folks, which is that ability to hear and to respond to people's needs, which is that ability of kindness. And I love how Paul writes that. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Okay, seasoned. He used that term, seasoned. Don't you love that idea? Because it's supposed to permeate. It's supposed to be worked through our lives in every aspect. So, Nani, I know you got a joke there, but I'm not going to go there. Yes, it's supposed to be pleasant. So anyway, here's what we find. So all of a sudden, Peter's on the defensive, okay? Because these people have attacked him and reached out to him. So what Peter does is he just says, wait a second, guys. And he begins to explain the whole story. Now, you might ask the question, why did they react so ugly? Why was there not celebration? Why were they not rejoicing? Well, we talked a little bit about it last week, and I want to go back and remind you. Part of this whole situation was because to this point, now understand, this is 10, 15, maybe 20 years after the crucifixion and after the resurrection. This is a period of time, and the church has been growing, but it's been growing in the Jewish community. To this point, Christianity doesn't have a separate identity. To this point, they're just seen as Jews who are followers of the way. Jews who are possibly a sect out of Judaism. They're not separate. The church is not yet separate. And what's going on is these who are dominant within the Jewish community are still saying, we need to follow the laws. That's why it says the party of the circumcision. They were the people who were legalistic and said, you have to follow these Jewish laws. Part of that, in addition to the practice of circumcision, were the ceremonial laws and the ritualistic eatings, okay? The fact that they had to follow in prayer at certain times, the fact that they had to abstain from certain foods because they were not considered clean, the fact that they could not even eat with a Gentile because of the fact that there was no guarantee that their kitchen was clean, their kitchen was kosher. And the food may have been prepared in such a way which would cause defilement to the Jew who was the strict Jew who was trying to follow in all the laws. Now don't forget, Jesus spent 3 years in his ministry trying to correct people, telling them, it's not about the laws that you follow, it's about the relationship that you have for God. It's not about religion being a set of rules, it's about relationship. And he'd gone through this over and over again with the disciples, but yet there was still that dominant Jewish influence. Now, to be fair with them, because I think it's important for us to try to empathize with their struggle and to understand their struggle, it's important for us to realize this. I don't know. I know that everyone had a different high school experience, okay? You know, and you know, my high school was different than yours and all that. But basically, you know, when I was in high school, there were the little cliques. Do you remember those? You know? At lunchtime, you'd go out into the quad area, to what they called the quad area, and you'd find the little groups of people everywhere. First of all, the freshmen weren't allowed out of the gym or out of the cafeteria. They couldn't socialize with, they were the underdogs, and they were not allowed to socialize with the upperclassmen, okay? And then you'd find the jocks over here, the athletic guys, and they'd have their own little spot here, and they'd be telling their jokes. And the cheerleaders were over there, rah, 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 rah. And the popular ones, and you know, the different folks were different places, okay? The geeks, they had their own little quarter, the chess folks, the intellectuals, the brainiacs. You know, and they all had their little spots somewhere located around on the in the quad, okay? And you could walk through and see. And you best, if you didn't belong in one of those cliques, what would happen if you went in, tried to get in? Yeah, that was dangerous action, okay? You know, maybe not physical harm, but boy, socially, you'd be ostracized and there'd be real problems and real conflicts. And in a sense, and, you know, I may be stretching it, and they may not quite match exactly, but I think that was some of it. You see, the Jews had their own little clique, their own little group. And to be part of that group, you had to follow these certain laws, these certain steps. And we can't have you come over and infect our group because you don't belong. You're not part of it. You see, we still find that in today's world. People in today's world are simply searching for a place to belong. And yet, so oftentimes, what they find from the church is, we don't want you because you don't fit our rules. That's the problem. And that's what was going on at that church. The church in Jerusalem. The Jewish community, the cultic community. And all of a sudden, somebody has crossed that boundary. Somebody has tried to get into our clique who didn't belong. And so they were outraged. They were upset. Peter, how could you let them do this? What were you doing going to the house of an uncircumcised individual? Now, I'm going to grant you, it was much more complicated than what I just laid out. Okay? It's much more in-depth, and there's a whole lot more back behind it. But for simplicity's sake, I want you to understand it that way. Peter had crossed a boundary. Peter had reached out beyond where he was allowed to go. And he had brought in some people who didn't belong. And they were upset, this party of the circumcision. And so Peter began to explain everything that he had to explain. He went through and he began to tell them all of the details and everything that had happened to him. And we read the recount of the experience that he had. It was very similar to what the first account, but it was almost identical. And Peter told him how this wasn't something I designed to do. I was minding my own business. I wasn't talking to anybody. And God initiated this. And he explained to them how God had brought this blanket down. He told them to eat the unclean animals. And Peter said, "No, Lord, I'm not going to do that." And three times it happened. And we discussed that and the emphasis that had. And then we also discussed how God at that point made the statement to him. He says, "Look, there's some men coming. Don't worry about the fact that they're uncircumcised. Don't worry about who they are. You go with them." He didn't use those exact words, but he said, "You go with them. You go with them." So Peter went with them. He heard from Cornelius about what the angel had told him. He began to preach, and then the Holy Spirit came down. Wow, what an exciting time. What an exciting time. And what happened to them? They received the Holy Spirit. They were granted, and they received that salvation. Folks, it looks into what happened at that time. Listen to what happened. It says in verse 18, "When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, 'So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life.'" Now, you know what happens in a church today? Okay? What happens in a church today? We end up with a conflict just like they had right there. That was the early church, and it had this conflict, okay? And what ends up happening? They end up in a battle. They end up having a fight, and the church ends up splitting in half, right? Going its separate ways. But that's not what happened here. That is not what happened. They came together. They heard Peter's response, even though they were angry and upset about it. They heard Peter's response. And as they began to consider how God had led them and how God had moved, they quieted down. They listened to the word that God brought them and what God said to them. They heard how the Spirit was given to them, to these people. It wasn't Peter going out and baptizing people. Peter only baptized them after they received the word from God. And they were brought together in unity. Folks, isn't that so good? Isn't it so good to hear the unity that came? That because they submitted themselves to God first, they listened to what God said, and they submitted themselves to Him, they put aside the argument. I cannot help but wonder how many churches would be united today, remained united, and would not have gone through splits had the leadership and the individuals involved came to that same point and said, what is God saying first? What is God saying? What's His word? And folks, I want you to know that's my prayer for here. And I'm happy to say, to my knowledge, I'm not aware of any conflicts in our church at this point. But you know what? This was the New Testament church, and they faced some big conflicts as God worked in their midst. I'm expecting we're going to have some conflicts at some point during the time I'm your pastor. You know, keep praying hard. Maybe it won't happen for 20 years, okay? Next pastor could deal with it. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm expecting there to be some conflicts. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say the same thing. Have we sought God's face? Have we sought to know what God wants? Because until we hear from God, we don't know what to do. And I'm going to be asking, as we face conflicts in the future, have we heard from God? Have we heard from God? Because we want to hear from God before we act. Now, there's one other thing I want to point out in this passage. And that's over in verse 16. And Peter, after he had explained all these issues to them, okay, he made this observation. He says, then I remembered what the Lord had said. After the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon him, he says, then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you know, Jesus said that just before the ascension, back in Acts chapter 1, that was the note that was made, that John baptized with water. You're going to see the Holy Spirit baptizing people. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says that at that point in John chapter, or in Acts chapter 1, before all of this began, some 20 years ago. And I find it interesting that because God's working, Peter went reflected back to the very words of God. And you know, I started thinking about that, and I go, well, you know, this whole story is about redemption. They were upset because Gentiles were redeemed. Gentiles came to know salvation. And I got to thinking about that. You know, that's been God's plan from the beginning. Think about John 3:16. There, you know, folks, by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, I'm a pretty simple guy. I don't try to build a complex theology. I don't try to build, you know, doctrines and preach a lot on doctrines. I'm a pretty simple guy. The Bible says it. That's what I want to know. And I believe that there are some very, very basic fundamental truths that are in the Scripture that should guide us through everything, okay? And one of those is John 3:16. You all know it. What does it say? For God so loved the world. Now, are you telling me that God loves this ball of dirt and water that's floating around out in space someplace? No, it's not that world he's talking about. The world, the word there, what he's talking about is the people. He loves the people. He loves his creation. He loves his people that he has made. He loves you. He loves me. Believe it or not, God even loves me. Isn't that so exciting? He loves you. Yes. He even loves Naughty. Okay? Isn't that wonderful? God loves each of us individually. And you know what? Back Jesus, this was during the 3 years of ministry. Now, remember, this is, Peter went back. He went back to the end of Jesus' ministry. But even throughout the ministry, we're reminded that Jesus was teaching everybody that God had loved the world. That's why the Savior came. That's why Jesus was there. That was why he went to the cross. was for that purpose of redemption. It was an expression of God's love. Paul tells us that while we were yet enemies, God loved us and Christ died for us. While we were still enemies, we were fighting with God. And yet God looked beyond that and he reached out to us and he loved us. And it reminded me that this isn't something new. This wasn't an afterthought that God had. That this has been his plan from the beginning of time. That way back in Genesis, you see God beginning the work. That in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve go out and they sin. They break the rift. They create this divide between God and man. And that we've all suffered that. When they sinned, death and chaos and corruption were introduced to mankind at that point. And we all began. We're all victims of that. We all have some kind of genetic mix-up in our bodies that causes, in my case, I have hypothyroidism. I got it from my mother, who's been handed down, and that's because all the genes got messed up and scrambled, and there's been this decay and corruption that's been going on from the beginning of time. And we have these problems in our lives physically because of the decay that has come to our society, to our lives, all because of sin. Okay? And it goes on. But even then, when it first happened, God says, look, I'm not going to let this stay this way. And he made the promise to send a Savior way back in Genesis. And he said, I'm going to solve this. I'm going to redeem it. And the whole book, you guys have heard history. This Bible is a history book. And you've heard it said, it's not history, it's his story. It's his story of how he has worked throughout the ages to bring about the redemption so that you and I can have a relationship with God. And this was what Peter took and introduced to Cornelius, was the story of God's plan of redemption. And Cornelius and his family said, yeah, we want it. We want the salvation that comes through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And folks, it's not complicated in how you get it. It's not complicated in how you receive that Holy Spirit. Cornelius and his household believed. They believed. And God poured out his Spirit. That's been the way it's been for hundreds of years. It's the way it is. Thousands of years. And that's the way it is. To enter in and have that filling of the Holy Spirit, to be welcomed into the family of God, to receive his grace, we simply need to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died. Now, you know, once you say that, oh, your whole life changes, and there's a whole lot of stuff that comes after it because there's a change. But we begin by simply accepting it. And God begins a work in our life. It's called sanctification. He starts it then, and it continues to move us. Did you notice that even though the Jewish Christians there were saved, they still weren't sanctified. They were still working on it. They still had anger issues. They still blew up. They still misinterpreted. They were still learning. Just like you and I need to. I still love the thing I got from Bill Gothard whenever I was a kid in high school. Little button, just initials, just letters, okay? Didn't spill anything. A little button, but the initial stood for, please be patient, God is not finished with you. And I think that's what every one of us can say. And this Peter, oh, is that right? Yep, but I like to please be patient because God's still working. But yeah, we need to remember, what would Jesus do? Reality is what God is doing is changing our lives. He changed the lives of Cornelius and his household. He changed the lives of Peter. He changed the lives of the apostles that were there because they submitted themselves to him. I think as we go today, we need to say, God, where do I need to say yes to you? See, Peter said, no, Lord. He said, no, Lord. God had to take it and change it. Where do we need to say yes? Where do we need to say yes? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the time that you've allowed us to share as a family. God, thank you for allowing me to be part of this. And I do pray, God, that as we go from this place, that you will allow us to experience your grace to such a full extent that we'll reach out to our neighbors, to our friends, to the people that we pass in the stores, and we'll help them to experience the same grace, the same love that you've shared with us. May we know your presence in our lives. May we know your love. May we share that in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for being here today. May you go in God's grace.
Thank you.